We welcome you here this morning. We hope you're encouraged and edified from our thoughts this morning. And he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We know the cost of Christ is everything that we have. However, the things that we give up for Christ, the control of our own life, are things that we couldn't keep anyway. But the things that we can gain as a result of faith in Christ, eternal life, something that we cannot lose. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-20, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust does destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Everything you have here on earth will decay and rust away." You'll lose it all. However, what we store up in heaven, we cannot lose. The author of Ecclesiastes, who probably was King Solomon, recalled in Ecclesiastes how he had done great things. He had accumulated much wealth. Yet he realized that accumulation here on earth is useless. He said, I undertook great projects. I become greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing. My eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. Even though he had everything he wanted, it was all pointless, because it didn't satisfy, and most of all, it couldn't last. We need to take some advice from this passage, and we need to trade the things that we can't keep: our life, our money, all of our possessions, earthly possessions. And we need to trade them for the things that we cannot lose: eternal life, righteousness, and a relationship with God. The reason I put these thoughts together this morning is Brother Lowell was sick last time we put together the 2-week program. And we was discussing how many people we use on this 2-month program each time we put it together. I'd like to go through some of those things that we need to come up with as elders as we put the program together to make it orderly. Again, I said we make this out for 2 months at a time. We use 17 people each Sunday morning and evening on this program. We use 9 teachers on Sunday morning, 7 teachers on Wednesday evening. Someone has to prepare these emblems before us here this morning for the Lord's table. We have to appoint somebody for potluck each month. Usually them people volunteer. We have to have someone that takes attendance each service. We have someone that does the program each week. Pam Sorensen has done the program for quite some time and did a very good job of that. Ginger relieved her this winter. Pam was wanted some time off, and Ginger did a very good job. But the thing I want to say here is, there is surely somewhere that we all have a talent to take part in the service to our Lord and Savior. We have those individuals of this congregation who do far more than their share. They are there to volunteer anytime we have a need. They are more than willing to help the church in many areas of the service and to help the church grow. And we're concerned about overusing people more than what they should be used. But we're more concerned about not being able to use a lot of our members who do have talents and are able to take part in some of these things. We all have talent, and that talent needs to be used. None of us lets that talent go unused in our workplace or in this world. So why do we let it go uncontrolled in service? We need to think about these things, and that's why I put these thoughts together this morning. I want to start out talking about stewardship. Stewardship is one of the predominant themes of the Bible, and yet it is often overlooked or minimized in discussions about our Christian life. The scriptures say a great deal about stewardship because it affects virtually every aspect of our earthly existence. To the extent that we put these biblical principles into practice, we will enjoy the freedom and fulfillment that comes only from being Christ's servants. John 12 and 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And also in Colossians 3 and 24, it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. A steward acts as an administrator, and he takes care of the affairs and the possessions of another individual. And each of us are stewards of what the Lord has given us. But two examples that I use here is Joseph, who became Potiphar's steward in Genesis. Or we can think of the end. He was just and did the things that he should do. Or the unjust one, as in Christ's parable, the steward who squandered his master's possessions. Each of us as Christians have been entrusted with the stewardship. The things we call our own are really not ours, but they are God's. We have no possessions, and we do not even own ourselves. Once we've accepted Christ, we belong to God. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Also in 1 Corinthians 3, 23, and we are Christ's, and Christ is God's. God is our master, and we are responsible to manage his affairs and possessions. Because we are servants, all that we have is his. This exploits the popular misconception that we give God his percentage, and the rest is ours. According to the scripture, we are accountable to God for everything, whether we have much or little. our key responsibility as his steward then is faithfulness. We need to be faithful. Let a man regard us in the manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. We talked about many times about the parables in Matthew and the amounts that differed with these individuals. They was entrusted with something. The rewards were not based on how much they were given, but what they did with what they were given. Significantly, the first two were praised equally. The first was given 5 talents and the second was given 2. You could think about, well, the one had 5 and the one had 2, so he was better than the one that had 2. That's not true. We don't want to compare ourselves with others because comparison is the basis of all dissatisfaction. As this parable states, the first two men used their talents and gained double what they had started out with. The third, however, buried it in the ground. And thus his master was very displeased with him. He was called wicked and lazy. Sounds kind of harsh. But what can we learn from this story? We can learn that God has given each of us different talents and abilities, and he expects us to put those talents to good use. He doesn't expect us to bury them in the sand. We shouldn't hide these talents, as the servant did here, but instead, we should use our talents and abilities for God, and mainly to the glory of God. It's also important to note that we are all in this together. Each part of the body of this congregation contributes to the whole. So too does the talents and abilities of each of us contribute to the well-being of each other and the world as we know it and the kingdom of God. All of us have been given something. When we accepted Christ, he has given us something. And only one thing is important to God. Faithfulness to what he has given us and called us to do. Luke 12:42 says, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" I think about the many brethren here that have been in this congregation a lot longer than I have. And I think it's important, and that's why I'm bringing forth this lesson. I don't want to discourage anybody, but I want to encourage people that if we're given a talent, we need to use it. And I can assure you that if you use that talent, God will give you more talent, and God will help you develop that talent that you're using. Whatever we do, we need to work at it with all our heart, as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. In my profession in the real world, I never desired to be the best. I wanted to be one of the best. I wanted to be as good at it as I could. And I think that over time and experience, that taught me to do better and better and better and to become maybe one of the best. And that's what we need to do with our talents in the church. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, since we are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Romans 12, 6 and 8. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He is sure. We should never be lacking in zeal, but keep our spiritual favor, serving the Lord. Romans 12 and 11. But we all say time is our biggest factor, isn't it? We just don't have time. And most of all, we don't have no talent. I'm not as good as other people. I'm not as good at doing that. I can't do that. You might say, I'm the least talented person you know. Have you ever thought something like that of yourself? It took me a long time to get over the fact that I am me, and I am not any one of my brethren in Christ. So I can only do it to the best of my ability, and I don't need to compare myself to others. But believe me, when I first accepted Christ, I had to be one of the least talented persons you could ever know. But Christ and God has brought me a long ways, and I continually praise and give Him credit for that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everyone has talent. And everyone here, God has given you a talent. Are you hiding that talent? I certainly hope not. Romans 12 and 6 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. The same God who activates all of them in everyone. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6. We all have undiscovered talents. And we need to quit kidding ourselves, and we need to make the church stronger and better so that it will survive. But here's the real thing. We probably have talents that we don't even know about, just waiting for us to try them out. Some of us have probably never been a teacher. You need to teach a class, or maybe try to teach a class and let some teacher sit in with you to help you through that situation. God's church needs teachers, and it's important that we try to do what we can. But if you've never been a teacher, try it. You don't know if you can do it or not. If you've never been in charge of some church project, try it. You don't know if you can do that or not. Believe me, if you're in charge of a project in this congregation, there's going to be plenty of people more than willing to help you get through that situation. Seek out a variety of tasks, not just the same old ones that you've been doing forever. We need to try out new things and we need to try to grow. We need to improve our talents. We can develop the talents that we already have also, and we can become better at those by learning better things about it and continually practicing it. Think about good singers. They don't often get that way magically. They just keep practicing. And we need to look for training opportunities also. We have a Wednesday night young men's class downstairs. I was 30-some years old when I sat in that class with young men in high school. I enjoyed that class. I really enjoyed that class. They taught me a lot of things. Seeking different ways to use our talents improves them, and it makes that time spent more interesting for each of us. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, try to excel in spiritual gifts that build up the church. You know, getting back to the singing there, I remember when I first came in the church, I didn't really know anybody, but there's a Clifford Dyster from Kansas. And when we'd have a meeting, or Dean Avenue had their spring meeting, I loved it when that guy led songs. And I just, at that time, I desired to be just like him. And then I found out he's a music teacher. You know, music teacher does do a good job up here. We can't be like them, but we can do better the more we do it. But we need to serve the church through worship. We need to help in areas of the service where we can feel that we can grow and start out and grow from where we start. Usually we start out young men with doing the morning reading and the evening reading as a rule. The scripture reading. We need helpers at the Lord's table. We need people for prayer. Open meetings are really a good place to participate and get a start. You can lead a song. We can do a short lesson. We can do whatever we want, and it only needs to be 4 or 5 minutes long. I remember when I was in that development class, Don Gustafson was training us on how to read from the Bible. And believe me, he put emphasis on that Bible, and he wanted you to put emphasis on it when you read it, not just stand up here and read the Bible. He wanted you to make that like you was involved in it. And when they was training us, they would have us sit on the front row here of an open meeting, and of course we got to go first. And I've said it before, when it come my turn, I thought they put them doors there for a reason, so we could get out. And there's times when I felt like doing just that. But believe me, again, I want to emphasize that we have plenty of help from our brothers and sisters in growing in our talents and our stewardship. We need to be active in the life of the church. Seek out fellowship within the church. Help keep the church strong. And the way we do that is in our classes, in our discussion groups. We need to be in attendance for all the meetings, basically the ones we have weekly, but also like VBS, Labor Day, potlucks, mainly at every opportunity to be together with others. We need to serve through church projects. It might involve you helping a member, just as Bruce and Suzanne, taking a meal, just as Junior needed meals when he was trying to get well. Me and Marge have had meals delivered to our house. I'm sure I could go on and on. Many of us have been there. That's a good work. And that's a good fellowship to do that. Need to help with special projects, special events. We're going to have a 2-week meeting here in a few years. We're going to need plenty of help. And we've been assured that we will have a majority of that help, but it'll relieve the elders a lot to have a lot of help. We'd love to see more people at our business meetings. It's important to me that the congregation here help decide what needs to be done, and they need to have input in the church affairs of what goes on. You know, when we teach a class, it's been said many times, and I'll say it again, is you probably learn and get a lot more in preparing for that class than anybody in that class. Because usually you go over it several times, you get all the help you can get trying to figure out exactly what them scriptures are trying to say to us. But the other thing we learn is, it's important to know who the scriptures are talking to at that point in time. We need to know who's talking. So it's important to sit in these classes. And if it's boring, it's something wrong. You need to think about that. My main thing here this morning is I hope that I have encouraged more than I have discouraged each of us to be a good steward and to develop our talents that we have, that God has given us and He wants us to use. I think about Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I think about Romans 12, 1 and 2. I've always thought about that scripture from the day I first read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've said before, and I would say it again, and I would keep on saying it. People tried to get me to come to church when I wasn't ready to come to church. Because when I come to church, I didn't want to go live in the world all week and do the things that the people of the world did. I wanted them to know that I was a Christian. And I still have that feeling. And I think I still have the respect of most of the people that I deal with in the world, that they don't tell dirty stories around me, they don't use cuss words, they don't ask me to go drink with them. And I appreciate that. I'm not saying that that is bragging, but I appreciate them not even offering me that opportunity. The important thing is, the most important thing each of us can do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, realizing that you can have that eternal home in heaven with no sickness, no sorrow, no pain. You can be there with really good people. That's the nice part about eminence or special meeting. You're around nothing but good people. But we offer you the invitation this morning to accept Jesus Christ into your life and be baptized and repent of your past life. Or if you have needs as the church can help you with, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.